want you to close your eyes and say, Father, give me ears to hear.
Father, give me ears to hear.
A spirit to perceive.
And eyes to see.
In your realm.
In your realm.
For a change. I started out looking for the Lord this morning, as usual, to see what he wanted. How many know we need to be nosy if we expect to be fed?
Amen.
So I questioned, and he brought kind of a odd revelation. And it kind of, pulled me back a little bit. Because what he was pressing into me was the spirit of Jesus and the spirit of Joseph have identity. They have identity. Now, Joseph for me has been, let's say, a similitude because of the rejection, the being given away, not sold into slavery, obviously, but given away. And I'm hearing a correction. I guess I was sold into some forms of slavery. And so are you. But you may not perceive it as such, because slavery to darkness only lasts for a while. But the rejection of my family was something that was brought forth quite a bit while I was with my sister, who was also removed from her family. We have another sister that was removed from the family and given away. And I also informed my two sisters, two of them, did not know that the one who gave me away had already given Paul, the one who ended up bringing me up. He was given away at 2 years old with another one of his baby sisters. But because he was so old compared to the baby sister, he could not remain in that very special place that God had provided for his baby sister. Now, the baby sister was less than a year old, I think 11 months or something like that, when both of them were given to this family who happened to reside in the Quebec City area. He was seduced to the degree that they ever actually went out and bought him a pony. And he just would not let go of his family ties, mainly to his two older sisters. So they had to bring him back because he just could not adapt to the new home. Well, obviously, that should give you a little bit of an inkling of why, when I was being given away, and he found out about it, because they were living in a different city, that his heart obviously had been prepared by his own experience. Do I get an amen?
Amen?
See, I can see it now, but I didn't see it then. As I listened to one of my sisters, her comment was that she was also given away at the age of five, to another family, another half-brother and sister. But it didn't work. It happened to be a place where I was given away, and we didn't compare the years, but I would say it's probably a little bit after they had rejected me. So her background started in a convent type of place to live, not that far from where the farm was, where we were born, but from the time she was seven, she did not have a home experience. So we started to compare notes. And this morning, the Lord said in my heart, remember that Joseph was in that slavery for a long time. He was in that prison. How many have felt slavery and prison situations in their lives? Okay. They may not have been a physical, they may have been a spiritual or an emotional place. But it's the same Holy Spirit that picked him up and took Joseph and made him second in command to the entire nation of that time. But the slavery and the incredible lack of communication for how many months or years before he could communicate in that language, I can relate to. Because when I was 8, I was put in a school of all English-speaking people, and nobody could communicate with me, so I spent most of my time in the closet because I used to kind of disrupt the class.
No.
Of course. I was trying to understand, and nobody would take time. And in fact, there was a little girl in that class that spoke perfect French, but she was not allowed to communicate with me by the teacher. The teacher insisted that I work it out on my own, and when I couldn't, in the closet I went. By the way, I'm out of the closet. You can laugh, but I'm speaking something to you. Some of you have been in the closet. Emotionally, you didn't dare speak to anybody about your weaknesses. And yet St. Paul said, I celebrate my weakness. How did he get to the point where he could celebrate his weakness? Because it would be used. Go ahead.
More reliance on the Lord.
More reliance on the Lord instead of self. How many can relate?
Amen.
Okay. More reliance means it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It is something that happens as you go forward. So I said, okay, God, you're letting me see that Jesus went through the same stuff. And Joseph had incredible persecution by his family, especially his brothers. And he got to the point that he certainly couldn't stand them. Yet he became the way of supplication for them to stay alive. Correct? There was no food in the nation where Jacob Israel, who was his father, had to bow his knee to the Egyptians. Do I get a little tiny amen?
Amen.
So if you're wondering where all this comes from, it comes from Genesis. So you can study this on your own because there's a lot of meat there. But what God was saying to me, awaken to the reality that Jacob started as a man of flesh. But when he fought with the Lord, who won? There was a change of name, meaning a change of nature. Your name represents your nature. So, when Jacob was told that he was given a new name, his name was Israel, which is a prince with God. Jacob is the name that identifies a trickster. So he saw himself as one like his father in the natural, and he awakened to the reality that his name was not going to fit his future. Would you do me a favor? Would you close your eyes right now? Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Maybe my old name.
Maybe my old name.
Fits my old nature.
Fits my old name.
You may have a new name for me. I'm ready to receive.
I'm ready to receive.
That spiritual name.
That spiritual name.
The name of my spirit man.
The name of my spirit man.
That I need to identify with. And it might be part-time for a while. But don't let up on me, Lord. Because you didn't give up on Jacob. Hallelujah. You didn't give up on Joseph. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I'm going to take you to a place where Joseph has been lifted up. And it's your 40, chapter 42 of Genesis and verse 7. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. Mm-hmm. Where do you come from? He asked. From the land of Canaan, they replied, to buy food. Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dream. Then he remembered his dream. God had given him a dream and a vision of what he was to be down the road. But it actually turned against him because they couldn't stand his guts. Quite a few years ago, my brother Gaston shared something with me that he had not shared with anybody. You got to remember that I was brought up in the U.S. of A. as a lone child. My brother was brought up with the rest of the family. And he said, when you came to my house, meaning the house where I was born, at 16 years old, you were driving a brand new car. And I didn't have a license, and I was 18 months older than you. And I couldn't stand you, he said. I had hatred. Why didn't they give me away instead of you? See, you never know what your brothers and your sisters go through. All you know is your own experience because we are selfish people.
Amen.
Thank you. We are focused on me, myself, and I, the three gods we worship. And if you don't think you worship, just look at how you act and react when others get a blessing. Amen? Or others are making out better than you. I was making out like a bandit, according to my brother, who was 18 months. And in fact, he came to my wedding. I was 19 years old. He was 20 and a half, and he didn't have a driver's license yet because he was forbidden to drive. He hadn't behaved according to the rules. See how God put me in a different place? Now, it was humble pie for him to be able to come to that wedding. And only through God's grace did he say, I survived it. See, my older brother, who was 10 years between him and myself, had all the privileges of the family. He was the designated driver, so everyone else had to bow to him, so they couldn't stand him. But I didn't know that I was hurting my brother. I had no clue. So you can be injuring someone having no clue. This young man, having had a dream and revealed it, caused him to be sold into slavery. Verse 9, he remembered his dream about them and said to them, you are spies. You have come to see where our land is unprotected. No, my lord, they answered, your servants have come to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. Your servants are honest men, not spies. Oh, really? They were definitely liars, but they didn't know that at the time. No, he said to them, you have come to see where our land is unprotected. But they replied, your servants were 12 brothers, the son of one man, who lived in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and the one is no more. Now, can you imagine what he felt like? Can you identify? He is being called a dead man to his face. Joseph said to them, it is just as I told you. You are spies, and this is how you will be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of your number to get your brother. The rest you will be kept in prison so that your words may be tested to see if you are telling the truth. Why did he not believe them? Because he had lived their lies. If you are not, then, as surely as Pharaoh lives, you are spies. And he put them all in custody for 3 days. How many days did Jesus land in the
3 days.
Grave?
3 days.
Look at it. On the third day, Joseph said to them, do this and you will live. For I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison while the rest of you go and take grain back to your starving household. But you must bring your youngest brother to me, so that your word may be verified, and that you may not die. This they proceeded to do. They said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother." Woo-hoo! "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come upon us." Is that a beginning of a revelation? If it isn't, then my God, I think I'm in the wrong business. Reuben replied, "Didn't I tell you that not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an account for his blood. They think he's dead." They did not realize that Joseph could understand them, since he was using an interpreter. What does that tell you? Sometimes you're going to get a vision and you're going to get a word that's going to identify, and you're going to understand when no one else around you thinks you can. It's going to be the Holy Spirit who has come upon you to interpret something that no one else gets a clue on, but all of a sudden, your lights are on. Your ears are open. Your understanding is there. And you say, "Oh my God, he had a purpose for me in the midst of this darkness." He turned away from them and began to weep, but then turned back and spoke to them again. He had Simeon taken from them and bound before their eyes. Bound before their eyes. What do you think they had in their minds?
His fighting.
Come again?
When they bound him.
Yes. Exactly. Total recall. I've lived through this. But he did it on purpose. Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain, and put each man's silver back in his sack, and to give them provision for their journey. After this was done for them, they loaded their grain on their donkeys and left. So he's giving them what? Favor and mercy, in spite of what they've done. At the place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey. And he saw his silver in the mouth of his sack. "My silver has been returned," he said to his brothers. "Here it is in my sack." Silver represents what?
Salvation.
Salvation. Amen. Their hearts sank and they turned to each other trembling and said, "What is this that God has done to them?" So the insult that they gave to Joseph has been returned in salvation. Not only to each one, but to their entire household. Acts 16:31. 29. When they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. Jacob is the man of flesh. They said, "The man who is Lord over the land spoke harshly to us and treated us as though we were spying on the land. But we said to him, 'We are honest men. We are not spies.'" Are they lying? Yeah. "We were 12 brothers, sons of one father. One is no more, and the youngest is now with our father in Canaan. The man who is Lord over the land said to us," is that a picture of Jesus? "This is how I will know whether you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me and take food for your starving household. And go bring your youngest brother to me, so I will know that you are not spies, but honest men. Then I will give your brother back to you, and you can trade in the land." A promise from Jesus is truth. A promise from men of flesh can be discerned. As they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was his pouch of silver. When they had their father saw the money pouches, they were frightened. Their father Jacob said to them, now notice again, it's the man of flesh that's speaking. You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin. Everything is against me. Has anybody ever said those words? Because your emotions, that's the man of flesh. His emotions are really ripped, and he just wants to stop it from pain. He's had enough. Reuben said to his father, you may put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you and trust him to my care, and I will bring him back. But Jacob said, again the man of the emotions, my son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm comes to him on the journey you are taking, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow. Now, if the story stopped there, we'd have only the natural man to respond to, right? Chapter 43. Now, the famine was still severe in the land. So when they had eaten all their grain they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, go back and buy us as a little more food. But Judah said to him, the man warned us solemnly, you will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother along with us, we will go down to buy food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go down, because the man said to us, you will not see my face unless your brother is with you. Now notice the switch. Verse 6 says, not Jacob, it says Israel asked. What happened to the man? Did you ever listen to your own mouth? Where you're into the emotional realm and you are being ready to destroy a few people. Put your hand up if I'm relating to you. See, you've got to see there's hope here. Because now it's not Jacob that's responding. It's Israel is ready asking a question. The man of the spirit is not the same as the man of flesh. They are two separate entities. Say 2 Thessalonians 5. Verse 16, 17, and 18 says, rejoice. Give thanks. In all circumstances. Because this is God's will for me in Christ Jesus. And verse 23 says, I am made up of spirit, soul, mind, will, and emotions, and a body. I live in a body. Jacob was visible to me. I should be able to see Israel come to life in me. And ask questions. Why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man you had another brother? So what happens? He's looking for revelation. They replied, the man questioned us closely about ourselves and our family. Is your father still living? He asked us. Do you have another brother? We simply answered his questions. How were we to know he would say, bring your brother down here? Then Judah said to Israel, notice again, he's not talking to Jacob, the emotional man. Judah said to Israel, his father, send the boy along with me, and we will go at once so that we and you and our children may live and not die. Isn't that incredible? I myself will guarantee his safety. You can hold me personally responsible for him. How many are willing to step up to the plate? If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, I will bear the blame before you all my life. That's an ouch, isn't it? As it is, if we had not delayed, we could have gone and returned twice. Then their father, Israel, again, look at who's talking, said to them, if it must be, I then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bag and take them down to the man as a gift. A little balm and a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once. And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man so that he will let your other brothers and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. Why? Why? Why does he make this comment? Because he's at the end of himself. He's at the end of himself, even in the spirit realm, even as the man of Israel, the prince before God. There are seasons where you will end at the end of your rope. And if I suffer, so what? Why? Do you understand where I'm coming from? Do you comprehend what I'm picking on? I'm picking on the man of flesh so that you can see what he does. But the man of the spirit is willing to be sacrificed. The man of the spirit is willing to let the soul, mind, will, and emotions die if necessary so that God's plan will unfold. How many have ever touched that place? Put your hand up. Lift it way up. You know why? So that you could become what he's declared that you are in him, in the Lord. So the men, verse 15, the men took their gifts and doubled the amount of silver and Benjamin also. They hurried down to Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the stewards of his house, take these men to my house, slaughter an animal, and prepare dinner. They are to eat with me at noon. The man did as Joseph told him and took the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were frightened when they were taken to his house. They thought, we were brought here because the silver that was put back in our sacks. And the first time, he wants to attack us and overpower us and seize us as slaves and take our donkey. Ha! Donkeys. So they went up to Joseph's steward, spoke to him at the entrance of the house. Please, sir, they said, we came down here the first time to buy food, but the place where we stopped for the night, we opened our sacks and each of us found his silver, the exact weight in the mouth of his sack. So we have brought it back with us, and we have also brought additional silver for us to buy food. We don't know who put our silver in our sacks. 23. It's all right, he said. Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasures in your sack. Why is he giving that back as God's gift to them? How many of you got a blessing in the midst of your dying process?
Amen.
Even when you didn't get your way, God was able to pour salvation into that situation. When I was up in Canada, that's part of what I saw. I'm not going any further in the word, but I am telling you this. God's grace is so intent on bringing salvation to an entire house. And he's not quitting, even if they're 80. Even if they're 90. It doesn't matter what the number is. What matters is this. God has not walked off the throne in my house. Now close your eyes. Lift one hand to the Lord. Say, God has not walked off the throne.
God has not walked off the throne.
In my house.
In my house.
He has a plan. Of salvation.
Of salvation.
Just for my house.
Just for my house.
He won't quit.
Until it is completed.
And I'm taking faith today.
And
even if I despair.
In well doing.
As my example. To those around me. They're watching.
They're
looking.
They're identifying.
But God's grace. Will be poured into their sacks. And they will see the salvation. That I have received. And they're going to get jealous. It's okay by me.
Because
salvation is mine. And my household. God's angels are on the job. Some of them are here right now. And I'm releasing them.
To bring in salvation.
To those in my family.
That are suffering.
From salvation. Of the word of God in their life.
They need that salvation.
And I'm receiving it by faith.
For each one of them by faith.
In Jesus' name.
Their eyes will be opened.
Their hearts will melt.
And God's salvation.
By the blood of Jesus.
Will set them free.
Like he's doing with me.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God.
He's got a plan.
And it's working.
Amen.
Amen.